Please stick around to the end of the show to hear a promo from our amazing friends over at All Crime No Cattle. Hosts Aaron and Shay are not only two of the kindest and supportive individuals we know, they also produce one of the best true crime podcasts currently out there. Please give All Crime No Cattle a shot. You'll find it's well-researched and the stories are told in a way that is engaging, not to mention full of charm. If you'd like to support Gone Cold Podcast, Texas True Crime, you can visit us at patreon.com. Donors at all levels get access to Gone Cold ad-free. Thank you all for your donations. It means the world to us. Now on to the show.
The Gone Cold Podcast may contain violent or graphic subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
I can't imagine the torment that both of her parents have gone through all these years, not knowing, not having answers. You know, I mean, I just can't imagine losing a child that way. I just cannot. I can't. I've been to her grave many times, praying and asking why, you know, why it happened and why we still don't know. Classmates. We were close classmates. We were friends. We rode the same school bus. We were really good friends. We had the same circle of friends. And I just remember that she was a very smart, very friendly girl that everybody loved and thought the world of. I've never forgotten her. She was just that kind of person that everybody loved. I still can't believe that it happened. As I told you earlier, things like that just didn't happen. I still can't believe that it happened. And I still can't believe that they never found the person who did it. I think about her this time of year, every year. All the time I think of her. And I wonder who and why did they never find the person who did it? I've been to her grave many times, crying and asking why, you know, why it happened and why we still don't know. It's a huge part of my past. I mean, you know, it affected me. To this day, it affects me in ways that I'm still trying to understand. It shook me. You know, one day you're a little girl, an innocent little girl, and then the next day when you hear something like that that's happened to somebody that you are really close friends with, it changes you forever. At that age, you can't even anticipate that there's that kind of evil in the world. You don't even know that until that moment. And when you do, you can't unlearn that. You know, you can't unknow that. And it was just devastating. You know, I remember going to the funeral. It was so unreal. Still can't believe it happened.
The ripple effect of a homicide, and in particular, an unsolved homicide, stretches far beyond the victim. Family, friends, coworkers, neighbors, and entire communities feel the effects. Families of homicide victims experience life-changing trauma that is incomprehensible to others. Though family members move on with their lives most of the time, an unsolved homicide leaves them with a haunting uncertainty. Their thought process is left to answer the questions that law enforcement or the justice system couldn't give them. When a loved one is taken unexpectedly and in a way that seems unbelievable or impossible, an individual's mind will most certainly try to make sense of that event in any way it can. When that loved one's life has been taken at the hands of another individual, when that loved one is murdered, the longer it remains unresolved, the farther the mind is willing to go to search for answers. Even when we read about homicides and other violent crimes in which we have absolutely no connection to, our minds can drift into every possible scenario and often get lost in detail that may have no relevance or impact at all. every detail that we can't register as making sense or that seems the slightest bit out of place is, and honestly should be, considered when our brains go into problem-solving mode. It isn't unnatural. In fact, it is so incredibly human and necessary that individuals are taught to nurture their consideration for every circumstance and possibility, but trained to sort, categorize, confirm, and eliminate as a part of functional problem-solving and investigation. And it isn't something that is learned overnight nor with no experience, particularly when speaking of violent crime, where everyone who ever cared for the victim is going to try to make sense of what happened and how it happened. We had intended for this episode to be the finale to Susie Mage's story, and apologize for not being able to keep last episode's promise of bringing you Susie's remarkable legacy. However, something occurred that we felt we must address before going further. On our last episode, you heard Del Mages discuss an event that occurred the weekend before Susie vanished.
And I saw it on the Remember and Denton Facebook page, you know, so it was just, you know, kind of a fluke that I even saw that. And when I saw it, I was like, I gotta listen to that. And when I hit play, I was just shaking. I was like, oh my gosh, I believe that they're talking about. That's me. So, I mean, again, when I was listening to the podcast, I was just blown away. The weekend before, the best that I remember, she did spend the night. And that Saturday, we had like a 20-acre place, and we had a truck that we all took turns learning to drive in the pasture. And my sister was driving, and Susie and I were sitting on the tailgate of the truck, and we hit a bump, and Susie and I both fell out of the back of the truck, off of the tailgate, and bumped our rear ends. And I remember Susie kind of hit the back of her head, but not hard. It was funny. We laughed about it. You know, it was not that big a deal, really. Again, we laughed about it. It wasn't like, you know, we had to rush her back to the house or, you know, like it was a serious medical thing. It just wasn't like that. It was, you know, we kind of hit the bump, bounced off of the tailgate, and both of us landed on the ground, and she kind of went back and hit the back of her head, but not hard. I mean, not to the point that it was a big deal. It was a non-event. I don't remember, you know, the reason that she stayed there for hours later was because of her condition, I guess is what I'm saying. I remember she stayed the rest of the afternoon. I don't remember my mom taking her home. I know that she went home later that afternoon or early that evening, but I don't remember the details of that. But, you know, I was shocked when I heard the podcast stating that, you know, Susie's father was worried that something, you know, bad had happened while she was at our house. And I can say, you know, in no uncertain terms that anything like that happened. My stepdad was, you know, a good man. Nothing like that went on. I mean, again, I couldn't not call you. You know, I just couldn't.
Law enforcement was made aware of Del Mage's questions and concerns regarding the weekend Susie fell off the pickup truck at Lisa's house. Last episode, former Los Angeles County homicide detective Danny Smith told us that if he were to reopen Susie's case, one of the first things he would do was re-interview every individual that was originally interviewed, among others. Lisa has always wondered why she's not been approached by law enforcement since 1977.
Nobody saw anybody come in. Nobody saw anybody go out. It just, I don't know, it just always seemed very odd to me. I mean, and again, I found it strange over the years that, you know, I mean, again, I didn't really have anything to add, but I was a close friend of hers, and I've been surprised that through the years, nobody ever tried to contact me, you know, through the cold case unit to ask me or, you know, to talk, you know, to just ask questions. Nobody ever did. Nobody ever has. But I just found it odd if investigators were really looking into her case that deeply, why was I never questioned again past, you know, when it happened? we were very close. You know, even right after. You know, I remember being questioned a couple of times, and that was it. Never heard anything else from anybody ever again. Well, I mean, again, I'm angry because I still feel like that more should have been done, and I don't feel like that a thorough investigation was done because, I mean, again, I was pretty close to her, and I know that I was only questioned, I'm going to say, maybe twice. Why is that? 41 years, nobody has ever contacted. I've never been hiding from anybody. You're the first person that I've spoken to about it that had interest. It's wrong to Susie and her memory, and for her parents, and for her brother, and for the community as a whole. Why weren't the questions ever answered? What happened to her?
Lisa also told us about another detail to a part of Susie's case that added to the circumstances' peculiarity.
I was shocked to hear in the podcast about that story that she'd written, again, because my full name is Lisa Rochelle, and everybody called me Shelley. And so that kind of made the hair on the back of my neck stand up because I didn't really remember that about her story that she had written. And maybe it was because it was a traumatic thing for me that I don't remember. But no, I mean, I don't remember, you know, we were innocent kids. I don't remember us talking about scary things like that. I mean, Susie was a straight A student, and she wasn't having anything to do with anybody that wasn't upstanding. I'll just say that. She was a good girl.
There was another event in Lisa's life that she struggled to make sense of, something other than the murder of the friend she held in such high regard. 2 years after Susie's death, on March 21st, 1979, Lisa's stepfather was shot and killed as he was preparing to open his restaurant, Western Barbecue, in Dallas, in what was theorized at the time to be a robbery. The murder of her stepfather has never been solved either. And Lisa, of course, has also struggled with endless, nagging questions and experienced her mind drifting to answers that exist where emotion and desperation sometimes cloud the path to the truth.
When my stepdad was, they had a restaurant in Dallas, and he was shot, found shot dead in the restaurant, March of 1979. How often does tragedy like that happen? You know, I mean, losing two people that you think so highly of, you know, what are the chances? But I know they're not related, but that case was never solved. I don't know why it crossed my mind, but it just, I would be lying if I didn't tell you that it crossed my mind. Because again, I mean, how often does, you know, people that you love being murdered happen within a 2-year period of each other? They never figured out who did it. It was broad daylight. It was Regal Row, March. It was the third week in March. I want to say it was the 20th, 21st, something like that. Broad daylight, and they had a barbecue restaurant. They were only open for lunch hours. And supposedly, the story I got was that before the lunch rush, somebody walked in there, robbed him at gunpoint, and then my mother, who had a barbershop in the back, came in, found him dead on the floor. Nobody saw anybody come in. Nobody saw anybody go out. It just, I don't know, it just always seemed very odd to me. You know, I'd be lying if I didn't say that, you know, when my stepdad got killed, I was like, is it somehow related? Would somebody, you know, take revenge on him thinking that he had something to do with it? It was just another unanswered question as far as I was concerned. I mean, you know, it still is to this day because I don't know. They don't know who did it.
We thought it was important to share Lisa's story. She is very intent on helping the Mages family answer at least one of the many questions that they need answered.
I can't imagine the torment that both of her parents have gone through all these years, not knowing, not having answers. You know, I mean, I just can't imagine losing a child that way. I just can't know it. I can't. If there's any small part that I could play in giving her parents, her family, any sense of, you know, being able to put their mind at ease, I'm happy to do it because I love Susie. And I have never forgotten her, and I never will. Ever. She was a very special girl.
On the next episode of Gone Cold Podcast, we'll talk about Susie Mage's legacy. It's an incredible story that I hope we can convey in a way that doesn't undermine its significance. If you have any information about the abduction and murder of Susie Mages, please contact the Dallas Police Department Cold Case Squad at 214-671-3661 or email at coldcase.dpd@dallascityhall.com. You can also leave tips through the Crime Stoppers hotline at 877-373-8477. We'd like to give a huge thanks to Lisa for reaching out to us and bringing us her story. It's a huge deal to us, and though I can't speak for Dell, I believe it's a huge deal to him as well. As always, we'd like to extend a huge thank you to Susie's father, Dell, for his cooperation and contributions, and for his trust, candidness, and friendship. Gone Cold Podcast, Texas True Crime, can be contacted on Facebook or Twitter by using the handle @GoneColdPodcast. Again, please stick around to hear a promo for our friends Shay and Aaron's podcast, All Crime, No Cattle. If you're interested in discovering many fascinating and virtually unknown true crime tales, please visit our friend at thetruecrimefiles.com. You'll also find book and podcast reviews there. The True Crime Files is an amazing resource for all things true crime. It's our go-to spot on the web. Thanks for listening, y'all.
True Crime fans, I'm Erin.
And I'm Shay. We host All Crime, No Cattle, a conversational podcast which focuses on true crime stories from the Lone Star State.
We strive to bring you a balanced and well-researched story about Texas cases big and small.
We do the research so you don't have to.
We also end every episode with a good news story, just to remind everyone that real life isn't quite as depressing as true crime can make it out to be.
New episodes drop every Thursday, and you can find us wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. All Crime, No Cattle, because crime is bigger in Texas, y'all.